live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 14th day of August, 2019. I'm sorry, today's Wednesday. On this Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. And I am thrilled to have both a first-time guest today and one of my favorite returning guests. The first guest that we have on today, for the first half hour of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, is not only a first guest for me on this program, but it's a first timer. I have interviewed Christian Jews and Orthodox Jews, but I've never interviewed an agnostic Jewish individual before that I can remember in all the years I've done Iron Sharpens Iron Radio going back to 2005. But there is a unique situation here. Although my guest, David Horowitz, is an agnostic Jew, he cherishes the Christian roots of America, and he has written a book to talk about the war to destroy Christian America. It's called Dark Agenda, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, David Horowitz.
Thank you. Thanks for the introduction.
Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Somebody else who said it would be interesting to have an agnostic Jew and former radical write a book about the war against Christian America.
Yeah, a radical liberal.
Well, I was never a liberal. If you asked me what I was when I was on the left, I would have told you I was a Marxist revolutionary.
Wow.
People who tell you they're progressives are lying, and they're deceiving you. My parents were card-carrying members of the Communist Party, and I never heard them or their friends ever use the word communist to describe themselves. They were always progressives. And actually, there was a progressive party was created in for the election of 1948 by left-wing Democrats who supported Russia. So we have a lot of distorted history, unfortunately. So coming in as an outsider was very useful. I mean, I learned a lot, but I think people, first of all, I think my witness has more credibility than a witness, say, of an actual Christian. Because if you're a Christian, you have a stake already. You have a religious faith, and you want to defend it. I have no dog in that fight. But I did recognize when I came out of the left and looked at America. Well, first of all, I realized that you can't have an inalienable right to life or liberty or the pursuit of happiness, one that no one can take away unless there's a God to give it to you. Because if a government gives it to you, if somebody like Maxine Waters or Bernie Sanders grants you a right, you know, when you look at them crosswise, they'll take it away. So that was, and for an agnostic, that was a challenge. I'm not an atheist. I don't know that there's no God. And, of course, no atheist can know. It's a faith. But I realized you have to have a respect for God, for the idea of God, and a respect for people who believe in God in order to defend your freedoms. You can't argue it another way. How can you argue that you have this inalienable right to life or liberty if there is no God? You really can't. So I began with that, and then when you look at it, every freedom that we cherish, every value that we hold really dearly, equality, tolerance, inclusion, even diversity, they're all Christian ideas. That's how they originated.
Now, how did the change in you begin from being a socialist Marxist radical to coming to the point where you now oppose those ideas?
Well, I think they're evil.
How did you come to that realization?
Well, the Black Panther Party murdered my friend, and
wow,
the whole left blamed it on white people.
Wow.
And then, shortly after that, I wrote about this in a book called Radical Son. Then a few, you know, actually about 2 months after her body was discovered in San Francisco Bay, the communists, America had a retreat from the Vietnam War because of the domestic support for the communists. I mean, they like to call it an anti-war movement, but it wasn't. It was a pro-communist, anti-American movement. America left, and the communists proceeded to slaughter 2.5 million innocent Indo-Chinese peasants in Cambodia. They killed everybody who had wore glasses. Because they thought they would, you know, bring carry the bad ideas of the past, and these people, of course, were creating a new world. There wasn't one protest against the slaughter of innocents by the communists, and that's how I realized I had been involved in a very evil movement: progressivism, communism, social justice. It's all the same. Where they think they can create a perfect world, and if you get in your way, you're expendable.
Now, how long ago did this radical change take place after the murder of
the 70s? This woman disappeared in December 74, and her body was fished out of San Francisco Bay in February 1975, and America left Vietnam in April of 75. So it happened all at once. It took a lot to shake me from my radical delusions. But you can see how it would be hard to shake an Alexandria Cortez or an Ilhan Omar. These people have the same evil ideas, and they hate America, and they support terrorists.
Now, it is a big leap to come to disagree with Marxist, Leninist, communism, and also socialism and all things left, and to actually come to the place where you revere Christianity, even though you're not a Christian yourself.
Well,
when did those ideas begin?
Revere is too strong a term. Here, look, let me summarize it in a couple of sentences. Before the Protestant Reformation, you couldn't get to heaven except by going through the Catholic Church and its priesthood. But the Protestant reformers realized that churches are just human institutions, and they are subject to the corruptions that all individuals are subject to, that we all have to fight. We have to fight to be honest, for example. I mean, to take the simple but in some ways most important human corruption, which is lying, since everybody does it. But lies are also the root of evil. That doesn't mean that every lie is. There are fibs, or there are white lies and black lies, as we know. But you have to be on guard. If your back is against the wall, you're likely to commit crimes to get yourself out of the predicament, and certainly to lie to save your skin. The Protestants came up with this idea, you know, when they rejected the priesthood as the authority of their relationship to God, and they came up with this idea of the priesthood of all believers, which is the radical idea that created America. 98% of the founders of America, the people who settled this continent and created America, were Protestant Christians. And, of course, there were many Protestant Christian sects, and they were all fleeing persecution by established religions. That is, when the government, for example, in England, the
right.
famous one, Henry VIII, you know, when he stopped wanting to behead his wives, he changed the religion overnight. But it became an Anglican religion, and they persecuted the pilgrims and others who came and founded this country. So when you think of that idea, the priesthood of all believers, that's radical equality. That means everybody, whatever their color or origin, is part of the priesthood.
Right, and of course, yes, Protestants believe that that is a biblical concept from the New Testament, they didn't invent it, but...
Well, until they came along,
right.
if it was an idea of the Testament, it was buried.
Yes, it was obscured by the Roman Catholic Church, for sure.
But the point is, when they created America, immediately, that included black slaves. And the Declaration of Independence, our birth certificate, is very clear. All men are created equal. That includes black slaves. Within 20 years, first of all, the northern states have freed their slaves. The slave trade had been abolished. It was an incredible revolution. We have all these leftists today talking about America's original sin. Like Cory Booker was an idiot. Being slavery. No, it wasn't. The English instituted the slave system in America. America was a very radical idea that all men are created equal. It took a generation and 350,000 Union lives to finally free all the slaves. But if you look at it that way, since slavery was a normal institution for 3,000 years, nobody ever condemned it. Morally, until Wilberforce and Jefferson came along, America is the greatest gift that was given to black people in 3,000 years. Americans should be proud of their heritage, and I refer to the sin of slavery. And there's a, you know, of course, the lesson, well, why didn't they do it overnight? Just do it in 1787 in the Constitution, just outlaw slavery. Because they would have been attacked by the slave South, which almost beat the North, whatever it was, 80 years later. And the South would have aligned with the British Empire, the most powerful empire in the world that had burned the White House in 1812. So it couldn't be done overnight. And, you know, one thing that I really can't stand is the way people today, particularly on the left, they're so self-righteous. They know what was right in 1776, and anybody who didn't agree with them, 200 years later, or back in 1776, deserves to be condemned. It's so easy to fight dead people. They can't answer back. But that's where we are in this country today.
Now, how long ago did this dark agenda in your opinion, from your research, from your understanding, how long ago did this dark agenda to wage war to destroy Christian America begin?
Well, I think it's always been there, but, this book I've written, Dark Agenda, I start with the 60s because it's when a Supreme Court decision outlawed prayer in the schools, which wound up outlawing religion in the schools. People had prayed every day in school for 170 years, and then six justices just decided it was unconstitutional. So much for precedent, so much for stare decisis. And you can't find a single liberal today who yells stare decisis over Roe v. Wade, saying, oh, it's all so terrible that we drove religion out of the schools. The fact is, today, you can't teach children that the pilgrims were Christians fleeing religious persecution. They can't know where their freedom comes from or what the reasoning was behind it. You know, what I just said a little earlier in the show. That's denied them. Elizabeth Warren, who's a you know, thanks to her lies about her Indian heritage, got to be a professor at Harvard. She's an ignoramus. She attacks. Well, she doesn't understand the Constitution. So's Cory Booker, who went to, what, Oxford and Yale, said we have to get rid of the bigotries in the Constitution. There are no bigotries in the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't mention the words black or white or, for that matter, male or female. Elizabeth Warren and the whole, the Democrats, they want to get rid of the Electoral College, the Senate, because they're not democratic. It's not one person, one vote. But that's what the founders wanted. And why did they want it? Because they didn't trust the people. On the one hand, they said, you know, monarchy is bad because it leads to a tyranny. You can't vest the authority in one person, so they made the people sovereign. And then they tied their hands with checks and balances. The whole idea of the Electoral College is to force the radical coast to have to win votes in the Midwest so they learn how to compromise. So we have a peaceful society instead of anarchy in the streets, which the Democrats are busily fomenting these days.
Now, most leftists and liberals perpetuate this understanding of conservative evangelical Christianity that we have a motive to basically turn this nation into a theocracy, and therefore those that are outside of the Christian religion are going to lose all their rights. They really have a very dramatic and frightening view.
Well, they don't begin to understand. Of course not. Why is America a secular republic? I mean, I discussed this in my book, Dark Agenda. Republic because it was created by Protestant Christians who there were many Protestant sects and they had been persecuted by each other. So they didn't want a theocracy. And people who say that are just ignorant. I mean, it's just rampant ignorance on the left. And one of the reasons is the left has taken over our schools, purged conservatives from the faculties. But, you know, so they lowered the, you know, if you eliminated the liberal arts colleges in this country, you would raise the IQ level of the country immediately because you have these idiot ideologues. For example, I spoke at Dartmouth. Well, I didn't speak because they made it a circus. I mean, they came to the event, turned on their computers, and played porn films as loud as they could to obstruct my speech, which they did. You know, they turned it into a circus. But I was told by the conservative students there that the course in the Cold War, our war with the slave empire, the Soviet Union, the professor who teaches that is a Marxist who identifies with the slave system, pro-Soviet. That's the sad state of our university. Most people don't quite realize that, but that's the truth.
So are you an optimist or a pessimist?
Cortez, she graduated from college. She's a moron. She doesn't know anything.
Now, are you an optimist or a pessimist in this war against the Christian America?
I am a believer in pessimism of the intellect, so you know who you're dealing with, and optimism of the will.
And just to clarify something, I do make a distinction between a theocracy and ecclesiocracy, because I know that the founders did not want a specific denomination to have authority and establish a religion here. But at the same time, I do believe that they wanted the law of a God to dominate in the.
Yeah, they're against an orthodox view of God. They have to respect, being Protestants, that all churches and all religions are subject to corruption by individuals.
Right, right. They were against a sectarian government.
You can't have a theocracy unless you have an official religion.
Right.
And they were against that.
Yes.
That's why we have
yes.
a secular republic.
So what are you...
The people on the left have no idea of that. They're at war. They're trying... Look, why is Chick-fil-A being denied stores and airports? Because they serve bad chicken? No. It's because with their philanthropic arms, they support 501c3s that express Christian views. The left wants to suppress Christianity. For the left, religious freedom means you can have any religious view you want, but just keep it to yourself. That's the end of the First Amendment.
Yeah, and any religion that you want except evangelical Christianity. And, of course, they have their own religion.
The people who accuse Christians of wanting to establish a theocracy are theocrats themselves.
Yes.
Their religion is atheism.
Yes, exactly what I was just trying to say, yes. Now, what is your counsel, what are your ideas on how the citizens of this country are to combat this as an agnostic
Jew? The biggest problem is that there are a lot of Christians. Look, politics is ugly, and a lot of Christians don't want to get involved. Well, there are two problems. In the book, I show Roe v. Wade, which is the most atrocious Supreme Court decision of all. And if you wonder why the Supreme Court is making so many bad decisions, evil ones, inventing rights that don't exist, dividing the country, think of it this way. Think of what the Supreme Court is. It's 9 lawyers appointed for life by politicians. Now, how could that go wrong? The evangelical community saved this country by electing Trump and showed that they're not mindless people. I mean, Trump hasn't exactly led the most Christian of lives, but religious people are actually smart. Leftists have contempt for religious people, and they're incredibly bigoted. This jerk Buttigieg, who attacks. He attacks Pence. When Buttigieg came out as gay and introduced his husband, Pence went out of his way to praise him for being mayor of the South Bend, which he doesn't deserve. South Bend is a mess. But it was a very generous Christian gesture that Pence made to him. And this jerk is attacking Pence as a bigot because he's a defender of religious freedom.
Now, let me ask you a question. As an agnostic Jew, are you personally offended when Christians like myself have a passion to see all men, whether they are Jew, Muslim, whatever religion or non-religion they happen to embrace, we want to see all men come to faith in Jesus Christ so that they may receive eternal life?
No, because I'm not threatened as an agnostic. I mean, I am what I am.
But you don't view this as bigotry or hatred. You view this as love, don't you? That we would want you to share and what we believe.
Yeah, what I don't understand is why Christians who go across the globe to save souls will not, you know, the ones who don't want to engage in politics, will not save, you know, the soul of America or Americans by fighting these anti-religious bigots. Don't call them liberals. They're vindictive bigots is what they are.
Right.
I mean, if you read in my book how Obama pursued the Little Sisters of the Poor, it's unbelievable. These were, you know, middle-aged nuns taking care of the elderly poor since the 15th century. And the Obama administration required them to hand out condoms. They don't even have childbearing women that they're taking care of.
Right.
They wanted to destroy the Little Sisters of the Poor because they were religious. They forced them to go up to the Supreme Court and spend, you know, God knows how much money. People have to understand how sinister the left is. And I mean, every single candidate running for the Democratic nomination is part of this, unconscionable vendetta against Christianity and America.
Yeah, I like the way that you distinguish between liberal and leftist, because most people don't. They will call liberal.
The only liberals in America are Republicans and conservatives.
Classic liberals, yeah.
Not just classic. The Democrats are vindictive bigots. If you disagree with them, you know, over whether America should have borders or not, they call you a racist.
Right.
That is not liberal.
Right, exactly.
You know, as I just said, I haven't been able to visit a university in 20 years without a bodyguard. That's not liberal.
That's right.
Our universities are not liberal. They're totalitarian little states. They shut you up. I mean, I don't know if you saw this insane and amusing video of the Democratic Socialists of America convention.
Yes, I did, when they were...
complaining about sensory overload.
Yeah.
These people are totalitarians. The proper term for Democrats today, not the voters, people are, you know, semi-informed about everything, but of the Democratic Party leadership is they are communists. They want to control everybody's life, and you have... In your wildest imaginations, you wouldn't have thought that somebody could feel persecuted because he has sensory overload and complain about it to a convention. That they would all defer to him. So,
now, how do you describe yourself ideologically? I know people that would once call themselves conservatives who don't even like that term anymore because they don't think there's anything left to conserve. They would just consider themselves either patriots.
Well, that's wrong. I mean, we still have a constitution that
right.
we can defend.
How would you define yourself? A conservative, patriot, all of the above?
Well, my conservatism is defense of the founding. That's what I believe in. I believe this is a great country, and it's unique, and it's the last best hope of mankind. I believe all that, and I'm fighting to preserve that because I know that, you know, my former comrades, I see what they become. It's revolting. And I see how far they penetrated everything, including Fox News. How many people know that, you know, that there was just an attack on the ICE building?
Yes.
The prime suspects have got to be Antifa leftists.
Right.
Because they attacked an ICE facility in Washington. You don't even see it mentioned in the media. I was watching Fox. They don't even mention it. You know, but...
Well, they don't give it enough...
I think we're in very dark times, and we're on the brink. But, the problem with traditional conservatives, they're fatalistic. And they throw in the towel before the fight.
Yeah.
That's what's so great about... What Trump has done, he's shown people on the right how to fight. Just go in their face. Yes! Well, you know, his attacks on Elijah Cummings of the Oversight Committee, blaming him for Baltimore. Of course! Of course! Black people in the inner cities are oppressed by Democrats, and mainly by black Democrats who are corrupt. How it works! You know, billions, actually, in the war on poverty, we spent something like $27 trillion in the last few decades. And it hasn't moved the needle one notch in how much poverty there is. You know, it's all screwed up. But the Democratic Party and these black Democrats are making a lot of money. They're doing fine. Come on, if white people were running the inner city, you know what they'd be called. But it's only Trump. Trump actually called Cummings a racist. And by Democratic Party standards, of course he's a racist.
Right. In fact, if these white leftists who are running for office were really authentic in what they say, they should just step down and let Cory Booker and any other person of color continue to run. Why are they even running? You know, I mean, if they were actually being honest with their rhetoric.
Well, I think it's great. I mean, you know, it's a racist party, which is a great, they crave danger to the country. The Democratic Party is a party of racists. Identity politics is racist.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it says that what's most important is the color of your skin, your gender, your sexual orientation.
Yep.
That's why they were, prepared to lynch Justice Kavanaugh, because he's white and male. That's
right.
It.
Well, David, I hope that you come back on the program again. And if I don't mind saying so, I hope you come back on as a born-again believer in Christ Jesus. That's for sure. But I loved having you on, and I look forward to having you back. I want to make sure our listeners have your website. It is the HorowitzFreedomCenter.org, HOROWITZ, FreedomCenter.org. And I assume that's where people can go to get your book as well.
Yeah, look, I'm grateful that you're concerned about my eternal soul.
Amen.
But you can also think about it this way. Maybe, assuming there is a God, that he created me to be a witness.
Well, all things that happen definitely occur by his decree.
The army of the Lord. I mean, you could look at it that way.
Well, I still hope that you become my brother in Christ, but yes, everything that does happen occurs according to the decree of God. I do believe that. But I look forward to having you back on, and keep me updated on everything you're writing and places where you're speaking and all that.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, David. And coming up now, folks, we have a returning guest, a dear friend of mine, Gary DeMar, president of American Vision. We're going to be continuing the theme of the war to destroy Christian America, or to destroy the Christian influence upon America. And if you want to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages with Gary DeMar.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and if you just tuned us in, our guest for the remaining 90 minutes of the show is Gary DeMar. He is president of American Vision and author of a number of books and one of my favorite guests of all. And we are going to be discussing how Christians should engage in battle in the war to destroy the Christian influence upon America. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Gary DeMar.
Hey, Chris, good to be back. And you were right, you do have a lot of commercials on your show.
That's the only way I can survive, brother. So tell our listeners who, if there is some miracle here, and we have listeners that do not know anything about American Vision, why don't you let our listeners know about this ministry?
Well, American Vision has been around since the late 1970s. I came on board in 1980, and American Vision, as it's name says, it was to reintroduce Christians to America's Christian heritage, going back, to the early founding era. And but while I was at American, while I've been at American Vision, we've expanded that to a Christian worldview that the Bible applies to every area of life. That Christians need to understand that all of life comes under the jurisdiction of God's sovereignty and kingdom principles, and that they are responsible for applying those Christian principles in every area of life, beginning in terms of self-government, family government, church government, and even including civil government and its many jurisdictional limitations.
Great. Well, if anybody wants to find out more about American Vision, you can go to AmericanVision.org, AmericanVision.org. You'll find out all about the many books that Gary has written, and in addition to other resources that he has available, and I'm sure you will be blessed by them. Well, let's start off with a term, Christian America. We just had a half-hour interview with David Horowitz, an agnostic Jew, who wrote a book, Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. And even though he is an agnostic Jew, he recognizes that nearly everything you could think of that is good about America is because its roots are in Christianity or in Christians who founded this nation. Now, the term Christian America, when that word or that phrase, I should say, comes out of my mouth today, I feel a bit squeamish to be so bold as to say it, because we have millions of babies being murdered here. We have men marrying men, women marrying women, and people getting penalized, punished in various ways, losing their jobs, and on I could go. If they were dared to question, especially the sexual preference of someone or the sexual identity that someone claims, and on. So, how do you react to what I just said, and how do you view the term Christian America?
I think it's important to understand that, you know, Israel was founded as a nation based upon the sovereignty of God over all of life, and who had given them commandments and so forth. And there were threats concerning that. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we see in the prophets promises of judgments. Threatenings of judgments because of their going after the idols of the nations and following the prescripts of idol worship and all the things related to that. And at the same time, in saying that, we also have to maintain that Israel was in fact a nation founded on God's word. And so it's no different than the United States, where all of the colonies, I mean, even Rhode Island and Roger Williams, all of the colonies were based upon Christian foundation. There isn't a single one that was agnostic. Certainly there wasn't one that was atheistic. North Carolina's state constitution required anyone running for office had to believe in the authority of both the Old and the New Testament. And that really didn't change until probably late in the 19th century. So when you back and look at the documents, you will see that our early founders, the New England colonies in Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania was called, Penn's Woods. And, I mean, all of them were founded based on Christian assumptions and Christian principles. And just like today, Christians grew fat and happy with the prosperity that God had blessed them with, and very much like Deuteronomy chapter 8, they forgot the provision. And I think, David Horowitz, in his book Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America, and he acknowledges freely that America was founded on these basic Christian assumptions. And here he is, an agnostic, and yet he has to recognize that the principles of what makes this nation great were carved out of a biblical worldview. I mean, even someone like Thomas Jefferson, who was not a Christian, he understood the morality of the New Testament. He took out all the miraculous aspects, but But he kept the morality because he knew that without the moral basis of things, he was not an atheist. He understood that without God, something else was going to become God, and it always turns out to be the state. It always turns out to be civil government. No one is an atheist. Atheism is a religion. Governments that, like China, that is trying to depose, Christianity, tearing down churches and threatening Christians and jailing Christian pastors. They're not getting rid of a religion. They are establishing themselves as the standard religious bearer, the final authority in all things. And it's no different today in the United States. Those who are persecuting Christianity are the ones who want to establish their understanding of the world as the foundation of everything. And it is just as theocratic as Israel's state religion was.
Right. And as far as our primary enemies here in the United States, when I say our, I mean Bible-believing Christians, can you go through some of these enemies that we should be aware of? Because some of them might not be so obvious. In fact, I think one of the greatest dangers of the preservation of biblical Christianity, or should I say one of the greatest dangers against it, is modern-day ecumenism that is practiced by conservatives. I think that conservatives, while we should be rightfully involved in co-belligerence, and every time we vote for somebody who's not a Bible-believing Christian, we're really being a participant in co-belligerence, whether we know it or not. But there's a difference between that and identifying our pro-life Mormon friends and our pro-life Roman Catholic friends and our pro-life even agnostic or atheist friends, or our conservative, our fiscally conservative homosexual friends. And that, by the way, that category seems to be a growing identity amongst hosts and guests on Fox News. There seems to be more and more people who are fiscally conservative homosexuals. But what is your view on who we should be viewing as the enemy and how we should respond to that enemy?
I think our biggest problem isn't the homosexuals or Fox News or the rest of the cadre of a pragmatist, economic pragmatism. It's always kind of humorous when you find homosexuals being free market advocates of the free market when homosexuality isn't future-oriented at all. And economics is certainly future-oriented. Decisions we make today regarding economics has ramifications generationally. That's a
very good point. Very, very good point.
And it's the same with you. It's the same with all of these groups. Their eschatology. In fact, David Horowitz has this great concept here. It's not unique to him. It was the same thing that Rush Dooney had said on page 29. Radical faith, he says, about his parents, and he grew up amongst communists, and he writes, for them, communism was the vision of a future in which the long history of social injustice would finally come to an end. When I eventually rejected this illusion, I realized that their atheistic creed was itself a form of religious faith. Their God was history, which they viewed in an inexorable march to a promised land. And that's the problem. Their worldview leads to no future. You have the abortionists who are killing off their future, and the homosexuals who can't breed. They can't have children. And here they are adopting. And I'm a postmillennialist, so they're adopting the postmillennial view of history, and yet they have no way of making it work. Now, at the same time, unfortunately, we've got Christians out there who say, oh, we shouldn't be involved in the world. We should just preach the gospel. Jesus didn't get mixed up in politics. Politics is dirty. There's a separation between church and state. Our citizenship is in heaven. We can't impose our morality on other people. Jesus said not to judge. Jesus told Pilate his kingdom is not of this world. And so we've got Christians out there who ought to be leading the way because we believe in the God of history,
And instead, they have taken themselves out of the fight. And the other side is winning, not because they have a better worldview. They're winning by default because so many Christians, millions of Christians, don't have this idea of a comprehensive biblical worldview, even though they have all the equipment to make that worldview work.
Well, one of the things that I hear very often from the mouths or pens of professed evangelicals, I'm not talking about liberals, professed evangelicals who are even professedly conservative in many areas, they might even believe in biblical inerrancy, but they will say that since Jesus was known for his compassion for the underdog, for the poor, the downtrodden, the helpless, that Democrats and liberals very often are a better model of Christ. And when we bring up abortion, they'll say, well, it's really a moot point because Republicans don't do anything about the abortion issue. They're cowards, they're inept, they're impotent. They just use it as a tool to gain votes from evangelicals and Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox and whoever else might vote for a pro-life candidate. And they really don't believe in it anyway. So how do you respond to that kind of an evangelical?
Well, I think they're right. I think the political conservatives have been using the church and Christians for many, many decades, making all these promises of what they're going to do, and they don't follow through. Here we had both chambers of Congress. We had the House, we had the Senate, we didn't really have the Supreme Court, but although we have very, very close to that, and then we had the presidency. Here we had all of the basic ammunition, I hate to use that word, but we had all of the basic means to overturn abortion, to stop this crazy notion of same-sex marriage and transgenderism and so forth, and they didn't do it. And so, I think that's absolutely right. Many, many Republicans who claim to be conservative are cowards. They do not follow through on the promises they make. And they make Bible-believing Christians frustrated and demoralized, because it's like the boy who cried wolf. In this sense, it's the boy who cried progress and so forth, and they don't deliver. So I think they're absolutely right about that. And I think there are a lot of Christians who would say the same thing. And the first point you made about the compassion of Jesus, you will not find one thing in the Bible where it says that that power ought to be given to the state to solve economic problems. So
when you were saying they were right, they were only half right.
yeah. But see, the Eighth Commandment is very clear: Thou shalt not steal, and that. There's no add-on to that. Thou shalt not steal except by majority vote. The state isn't permitted to steal. Most government spending today is based upon theft. Everything you're hearing from the Democrats right now is, we are going to steal money from millions of Americans and we're going to give it to other people who did not earn it. That is a form of slavery. That's what slavery was all about. You're going to work for me, and I'm going to take your labor, and I'm going to profit by it. But see, Christians they're not taught to think in these terms. Now, they have no conception of this because they're not hearing it from the pulpit. They're not hearing it from their Christian leaders. Yes, the Bible does talk about caring for the poor, but you never hear that the civil magistrate is supposed to do this. Jesus never called on Caesar to help the poor. Jesus never called on Caesar to educate people. This is the responsibility of individuals in terms of self-government, family government, and church government. Churches today, think about churches today. They have Sunday school classes, a large place for worship that remains empty 6 days a week while the Christian parents are sending their children to schools that deny everything they say they believe in. Why are we blaming the unbelievers who are acting like unbelievers? The problem is within the church, there's so many of them, so many Christians who are acting like unbelievers. No Jew would have ever thought of voluntarily turning their children over to Babylon.
Right. I love the line, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me. Vodi Baucham, who I'm sure you're familiar with, he said, basically, if Christian parents are sending their children off to be educated by Caesar, don't be surprised when they return home Romans.
Yeah, and worshiping the state. I mean, right. Again, we see this very clearly in the Gospels, where here you had a group of religious leaders. I mean, these are the guys who were supposed to be teaching the people God's word, and they want to go crucify, use the state to crucify Jesus, and Pilate calls out, "Do I crucify your king?" And they call out, "We have no king but Caesar." And Christians might not be saying we don't have any king but Caesar, but many of them act as if they do hold to Caesar as being their king because they turn to the state for everything. Again, this is not everyone. A lot of you and I know lots of people who don't do this, but we know the frustration of trying to get Christians active and beginning to change the culture, from the inside out.
We have to go to our middle break, and I know that you, Gary, may be disappointed about the many ads that are going to be heard, but it is a necessity. This is a break that's longer than normal because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us this midway break to be longer because they air their own public service announcements and commercials during this longer break to localize Iron Trip and Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida, which the FCC requires. So, please be patient with us as we take this longer than normal break. Use this time wisely by writing questions in to Gary DeMar, and also write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. Remember, we need our advertisers to remain our advertisers in order to exist. So the more you patronize them, the more likely they will remain our advertisers, and that means the more likely we will remain on the air. So please remember that. And we look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Gary DeMar at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnson's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which is almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnson was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
So tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnson's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, g3conference.com, g3conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. See you there.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, president and professor of systematic and homiletical theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
J.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle All-In 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number. And remember, you can only call Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, because that's the only time that that number is manned, that phone line is manned. It's 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. They are still offering two excellent books for free with any purchase. Well, the first one is for free for any purchase. It's True Love by Dr. James M. Renahan. It is a hardback, beautiful little book by Evangelical Press. And any purchase will get that book for you for free if you ask for it on the comment section at cvbbs.com. The other book that's free requires a minimum of $50 purchase, and that is the wonderful book that is my personal favorite biography of all time, and I am not exaggerating. In fact, they are offering this book specifically because I have informed them it is my favorite biography of all times. It's A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohn by John Thornberry, a beautiful hardback by Evangelical Press. And as I have repeated many times on this show, this should be made into a major motion picture. The life of Spencer Cohn, who tragically is barely known by anybody in this day and age, even though it was not all that long ago that he was a major figure in Christian America, especially in the New York metropolitan area. Spencer Cohn was not only a school teacher and a lawyer, but he was a stage actor in the 19th century. He was a war hero in the War of 1812. He was a particular Baptist pastor, which today would be called a Reformed Baptist pastor, in Manhattan and surrounded by all kinds of theological controversy. I strongly urge you to get this book, and you can get it for free with the purchase of a minimum of $50. Go to cvbbs.com, put A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohn, into your cart, add the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron, which is all one word and all capital letters, Iron Sharpens Iron, and then add $50 worth of merchandise on top of your order for A Pastor in New York, and the price of A Pastor in New York will be subtracted from your total. The easiest way to do this is just call tomorrow between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, and tell them that you want to take advantage of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio offer for A Pastor in New York or True Love or both of those books with your orders. And before I return to Gary DeMar, we have just a few public service announcements, or few events, I should say, that we need to let you know about because they're very important events. On Saturday, September 7th, at 6:30 p.m., my friend Bruce Bennett, pastor of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, is going to be debating Matthew Luke Broderick. The theme is the office of Pope biblical? That's a debate between Pastor Bruce Bennett, an evangelical Protestant, and Matthew Luke Broderick, a Roman Catholic apologist. Saturday, September 7th, 6:30 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York. For more information, go to wotchurch.com. That's W-O-T, which stands for Word of Truth, church.com. That's W-O-T, church.com. Or call 631-806-0614. 631-806-0614. And then in December, I'm packing up my bags and heading back to my old stomping grounds in Manhattan to the Foundations Conference, a conference orchestrated and hosted by SermonAudio.com. This will be held in the heart of the Christmas season, and I can't think of a better place to be during Christmas time than New York City. That's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, and God willing, I will be there, and I hope you are too, if you are a man in ministry leadership. In order to attend this event, since it is such a small venue, less than 200 people can attend, they are requiring that all who register are men in ministry leadership. The speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. If you'd like to join me there in New York City, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, for the Foundations Conference, remember, Christmas season, no better place in the world to be than in Manhattan during the heart of the Christmas season. Go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Then in January, I hope I see my friend Gary DeMar again in the Atlanta area like I did the last time I was there at the G3 conference. Gary and I had a nice lunch together and even got our hair cut together. But the G3 conference is going to be held in a suburb of Atlanta. That's College Park, Georgia. And that's at the Georgia International Convention Center. That's Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. The theme is Worship Matters. And this is a phenomenal event, and they always have an extraordinary lineup. They have the lineup featuring Costi Hinn, who is the nephew of the notorious heretic Benny Hinn. Costi has renounced his uncle's heresy and has repented of the Word of Faith movement that he was raised in. He is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and a cessationist, and was until recently pastoring in California. Now he's pastoring in Arizona. A remarkable young man. I strongly urge you to come hear him speak. Daryl Bernard Harrison, who is a new addition to the Grace to You Ministries lineup, the ministry of John MacArthur. David Miller, who's really a powerful old school preacher and evangelist. Derek Thomas, a name that is certainly well known amongst the majority of Reformed Christians. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Dr. Joel Beakey, another friend of mine going back to the 1990s, who is the president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. Once again, we have Stephen J. Lawson and Paul Washer on the roster at this lineup. Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, the ministry of John MacArthur. Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. My friend Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. Tom Askell, executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Vody Baucom, who I just quoted earlier, a remarkable preacher, one of the most powerful preachers alive today, and more. And as you may have heard both me and Dr. James R. White mention, John MacArthur has been added to the lineup. So they usually get about 5,000 people or more to this event. I think that with the addition of John MacArthur, they're going to have over 6,000 people there. So I would register as soon as you can at g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I will be manning an exhibitors booth there, so look for me if you register and you attend. And if you have a business or a parachurch ministry or something that you want to promote to a large group of people, especially a large group of Christians and especially a large group of Reformed Christians, then I would suggest strongly that you register for an exhibitors booth there like I am doing. So go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and register and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you do so. And last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. You could also mail in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on the screen by clicking support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please help us out, especially if you have extra money lying around collecting interest. You have money to use for recreational purposes. You have money for coffee and ice cream and all these things. Please help us out. Now, I have these two caveats that I remind you of every day. Never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money for benevolent purposes, please help us out if you don't want us to go away. IronSharpensIronRadio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. I can help you out. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, I need a church or something like that in the subject line. Also, if you want to advertise with us, we surely could use your advertising dollars. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible, at least, with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible with what I believe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Gary DeMar. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Gary, we have a question for you from Grady, a very faithful listener of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Asheboro, North Carolina. Grady says, another great show, Brother Chris. Brother Gary, the social justice movement coming into the church, in my opinion, is another way to undermine not only our freedoms of religion, but to divide the true church and produce a false gospel. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do, and of course, the first thing I want to know is, it seems like everybody has been invited to speak at the G3 conference but me.
Well, I hope that then in 2021 that changes.
Yeah, yeah, because I come down there, visit you, we have lunch together and get our hair cut, and I'm not even invited to speak next year.
Well, I don't make those decisions. I did tell them about Costi Hinn, and they had invited him, so I'll make sure they try to invite you.
Yeah, look, I'm free transportation. You don't have to pay airfare, put me up in a hotel or anything.
Right.
But anyway, the social justice, isn't it interesting how, you know, the left loves to capture a movement and define it with terms that we can agree with. We like justice. I mean, the Bible talks about let justice roll down. In fact, The strange thing is that Bible verse is what the organization in Alabama uses. What's the name of them? Southern Poverty Law Center. It's Martin Luther King Jr. takes the passage out of the prophets, and then he uses it. It's on the on their. I think there's a waterfall and so forth and so on. So here you have an organization that is anti-Christian. I mean, anti-Christian. You get on their hate list and you are bounced off of sometimes social media. You can't get a PayPal account and all sorts of things. They've taken the concept of justice and they've twisted it. And I think that's what we're finding out today. I believe in social justice. The question is, how do you define that, and then how do you bring it about? And that's the problem that we're facing today. But what we find in the social justice movement and that's coming into the church, again, lots of Christians who have no concept of what the Bible says about these issues don't like they say, well, we're all for social justice, and these people know more about it than we do, so let's bring them into our church so they can teach us what this all means and bring about the dealing with transgender people and homosexuals and the poverty issue and all those kinds of things, and say, oh yeah, let's go along with this. They've been practicing this for a very long time, and we feel guilty because of this. And again, we're back to the idea that pastors and churches, not all of them, but many pastors in churches are not applying the Bible to the world in which we live. They don't know how to apply the concept of justice in the area of economics. They think raising taxes on corporations somehow is a just thing to do. Redistribution of wealth, they think that's a just thing to do. And we've had this going on for 50 or more years, and why are we still having a problem with it today when we have spent through the Great Society and during FDR's administration, we've put all these programs into effect, and we have homelessness in California and other major cities. We have blacks of high unemployment, cities like Baltimore that have gotten billions of dollars in aid taken from taxpayers and given to the city of Baltimore, and they got rat infestations in the city. You got Chicago, where murders take place on a daily basis. We talk about shooting people and Walmart and so forth and so on. Tragic, tragic, tragic thing. But the city of Chicago has anywhere from 30 to 50 fatalities or at least shootings every month in the city. So again, definitions, what do we mean by social justice and then application? Where do we go in order to determine what social justice means? And that would be my response. A long one, but it's in these days you have to really qualify everything.
That's right, you do. Thank you, Grady. Let's see, we have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who says, it seems that we who are conservative Christians fall on either one extreme or the other, and I'm wondering if there is a meeting ground in between. You have on one hand, on one end of the spectrum, people that do not believe that pastors or churches as an institution should be actively involved in politics, although they do say that individual Christians should be in some level. Then on the other hand, you have people who have churches having political figures who are running for office speaking from their pulpits, and they come very close to equating political activism with spreading the gospel. Isn't there a medium somewhere that is truly biblical that does not threaten the true gospel, which is not the kind of transformation that politics brings?
I get this question all the time, and it's a very good question. I don't like the idea of middle ground, like you try to find the middle ground. I think, again, we have to define our own terms here. I've been a Christian for more than 40 years. I understand the gospel. How many times do I have to go to church, on Sunday or listen to somebody and keep hearing the same message over and over and over again? There's 66 books of the Bible. You cannot go through the books of Judges, Samuel, the prophets, the New Testament, and not deal with political issues. It's all over the Bible. I'm not saying that you have to preach on politics per se. I think what you need to do is just preach the Bible. And so when you get to passages like 1 Samuel chapter 8, you say, what is going on here? Here the people are given a choice. You know, they want to let God pick a king for them, or God says, hey, I'm going to let you pick your king, and this is what this king is going to do. Man, that's political. But it's also theological. We can't separate the polis, the city, the political aspect of things from theology. Everything is theological. God created civil government. We have Romans chapter 13. What does it mean for the civil magistrate to be a deacon of God, to be a minister of God? What does it mean for the civil magistrate to have the power of the sword? That means we have to limit the state and define what the state can do with that sword. This is all through the Bible. And if you are hearing the same message Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and are not dealing with parts of the Bible that are in fact political, then you're not hearing the whole counsel of God. I don't want to hear passage, you know, someone getting up and say who to vote for and so forth and so on, although there's no law that says you can't do that. But let's be clear about this. A pastor who's not getting up and dealing with the abortion issue and the homosexual issue, both which are in the Bible, and with the social welfare programs, also economics is all through the Bible, we're not getting a full-orbed Christian worldview being taught from the pulpit. It's not a dilution of the gospel. The gospel is you proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, you put your faith and trust in him. There's a conversion that takes place, a transformation that takes place from the inside out. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5, he stops in mid-thought on Melchizedek, and he says, I can't go on and teach you on this, because by this time you should be teachers of the Word of God. Now you're on milk, and you should be on solid food, and you need to have your senses trained to discern good and evil. Good and evil about what? Good and evil about everything. And so the whole Bible has to be taught about the whole of life, and that includes everything from a biblical perspective.
Do you not think, though, that there are churches that fall into the pit, and perhaps even individual Christians, where they really think that the gospel is political transformation as far as seeing the nation becoming more conservative. And as much as I believe abortion is infanticide, it is from the pit of hell, it's satanic, becoming pro-life isn't the gospel, I mean, or telling people to become pro-life. Of course, it is something that Christians should do. We should be telling people, thou shalt not murder. But there are many things that you'll have churches thinking this is the gospel. It's really like a new kind of social gospel. Whereas on the one hand, you had feeding the poor and other things, which are important things, becoming the gospel. Well, for the conservative, it's voting according to the way that they want their Republican candidates to be running, what kind of a platform they're running on. That's almost becomes synonymous with the gospel.
I really don't hear, you're probably out amongst people like this more than I am. I don't hear people making that sort of claim. My circle of friends are, look, if you're a Christian, the whole Bible is God's word and we should be applying it. What should the Christian be doing? Where in the Bible does it talk about abortion? And I could go through and do all of that. Where does the Bible talk about homosexuality? I could do that. Where's the Bible? What does the Bible say about economics? With a renewed mind, Romans chapter 12, if you have a renewed mind, you are now looking at the Bible as a moral and ethical standard by which being a new creature in Christ is evaluated. I mean, that's what the book of James is all about. You can make all kinds of fancy statements regarding what you actually believe.
Right.
But James is very clear in saying, look, if you're not manifesting this stuff in the real world, you can't say, you know, be warmed and be filled and think that you are manifesting the gospel message. So, again, definitions of things are very important. The reason I'm involved in politics is because I believe that God has directed through his word that there are several definitional governments. There's self-government under God, the individual's self-discipline. There's family government, and there's church government, and there's civil government. That's all in the Bible. You can't get away from that. There's a jurisdictional separation between church and state in the Bible. The civil magistrate is in Romans chapter 13 is given a directive to make distinctions between good and evil. How does he do that? And yet, in Romans chapter 13, you see Paul manifestly quoting the law. 1 Timothy chapter 1, there's this moral explanation of dealing with what you are as a Christian. Look, the reason Jesus died on the cross, because we fell short of a moral standard. Why all of a sudden, when we come to Christ, that moral standard doesn't mean anything anymore? It still does mean something anymore. We hear all this time, oh, we're not under law, we're under grace. Well, in terms of justification, that's true, but not in terms of living the life of a Christian. I always thought to people, so you're saying it's okay to murder and steal and rape now? Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I said, well, what are you saying then? The new life in Christ is a manifestation of that new life and the deeds that we perform in terms of God's moral standard.
Now, I wouldn't say, going back to what you had mentioned earlier about I may have different people that I'm witnessing and hearing from and about, I don't hear anybody saying that political activism is the gospel. They're not identifying it themselves. They're not conscious of this. But the way that they speak and act very often reveals they are confusing these things. Like, for instance, I have had conversations with a number of people who are convinced Glenn Beck is a born-again Christian.
Oh, well, I understand.
Glenn Beck is a Mormon. He's a Mormon. And you have the very well-known pastor in Texas who's on Fox News a lot, who seems to be convinced Donald Trump is a Christian. You know, you have these kinds of things where people are identifying people as brothers and sisters in Christ just because of the way they vote or the causes they support. And it has nothing to do with the gospel.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. And of course, that we need, again, we're back to definitions again. What is a, I'm involved, I was called up by a lawyer for me to help in a school case, the Christian school, and they have this family, which is a Mormon family, brought their Mormon children to come to this particular school. They were told ahead of time what this school stands for. In fact, I used to teach at that school. I taught a worldview class there. I dealt with cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Nation of Islam, Islam, and so forth and so on. It was very, very clear that Mormonism is considered a cult in terms of Christian standards. Well, now I learned that the family is trying to sue the school because they've defined Mormonism as a non-Christian religion. And the school, of course, is standing its ground. I think that's a little different from this idea that if you're not out there being involved politically in conservative standards, that you're not preaching the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the gospel is the starting point. Being born again is a starting point for a new life in Christ that embraces every area of life. I mean, it's obvious that Glenn Beck is not a Christian in terms of how you define a Christian. And, you know, the same is true with others who, you and I know there's all kinds of crazy people out there who claim to be Christian.
Right. And, let's see here. We have, BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, when we speak to our family, friends, and neighbors who are not Christian, shouldn't we always be presenting the gospel that they must repent and follow Christ first and foremost before and above all of our political conversation?
Well, I think the first step is, in fact, the gospel. When I became a new Christian, I was at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, where D. James Kennedy was the pastor. And by the way, D. James Kennedy was involved in politics.
Yes, he was.
Big time. And he had a number of conferences there. I used to speak at some of those conferences. I was on his radio show. I wrote a book for the ministry. So D. James Kennedy was involved in biblical worldview Christianity. But when it came to what's the first thing that needs to be done, it's the presentation of the gospel. I remember going to lunch with him one time, and he just easily engaged the young woman who was waiting on us with the gospel. And the famous two questions: if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And if you were to die tonight and you stood before God and God asked you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? And that was the introduction to the gospel. D. James Kennedy understood that the gospel is the first step. Being born again is the first step. But you don't leave somebody to be an infant. There's the growth in Christ is necessary. There's a time for milk and there's a time for meat and solid food, and politics and economics and education and journalism and medicine and science are all a part of that.
We have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, how do we prevent ourselves from turning our righteous indignation and comments, especially in public, from turning those things into hateful speech and let ourselves be puffed up with pride and arrogance?
It's very simple. Don't do it. I'll be 70 years old next year, and I.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's frightening in and of itself. And so I've been around a long time, and I've made mistakes, and I've watched other people make mistakes. I'm very practiced in when I comment on Facebook and so forth, and I have a little saying. I said, don't give anyone an excuse to reject your position other than the position itself. And so you just need to practice doing this. You just need to stick to the issues. When things, you know, don't let things get heated. Don't let someone get under your skin like what happened with Chris Cuomo when he was called Fredo. I would never do something like that.
You threatened to throw the guy down the staircase, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you just stay away from ad hominem arguments. Don't attack the person. Stick with the issues. Don't give anyone an excuse to reject your position. You're not going to win every argument. In fact, you probably won't win many arguments. Your goal should be to attract people who are, the old 10-10-80 rule, which Oz Guinness, wrote a book a number of years ago, and he said, remember 10-10-80. Basically, there are, 10 people on one side of the position. It's called, the book is called The Grave Digger File. Very, very good book to read on this sort of thing. 10% on one person, one end of the spectrum. Everybody at the G3 conference, and you and I and James White and so forth, we're part of that 10%. We kind of know what the issues are. We're good at articulating the issues, and we're good at debating. And then there's the other side of 10%. And what we're trying to do is attract the 80%, and there's a spectrum there as well. And so you don't want to give people an excuse to reject your position because of the way you act and what you say and so forth. So it just takes practice. Don't let people get under your skin. Don't give them an excuse to reject your position. I just say don't do that anymore. Just stop. Don't do it.
Well, sometimes it can be hard, especially if we are involved in the heat of the moment, to know when we've crossed the line from being correct in our righteous indignation, as our listener was saying. And it drifts into being hateful and not really being Christ-like. Of course,
and it's hard. Look, yeah, I know it's hard. I mean, I've been in some disputes with people, and I'm working both sides of my brain at the same time. I'm really trying to keep myself under control. And it doesn't always happen. I mean, Jesus got ticked off a few times himself. And the Apostle Paul did as well. I mean, if you look at, Acts chapter 23, where Paul didn't know he was the high priest, but he calls him a whitewashed wall. And he didn't apologize, but he used it to his advantage later on. But you've got to be,
Are you there, Gary?
Yeah, I'm still there. I guess I was trying. Someone was trying to call me. You just have to practice not doing that. That's all I can say.
Right, and of course, Jesus Christ did have liberties being the God-man in certain times and places where he said things that might not be appropriate for us to imitate, but.
Right, yeah, we're not, when you wear the wristband, what would Jesus do? It doesn't apply to overturning tables and beating people with cords and so forth. Jesus might do that, but that's not one of the things that we ought to be doing.
All right, we have to go to our final break. It's much more brief than the other breaks, so please just, if you intend to write in a question, do it quickly because we're running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Gary DeMar in the conclusion of our program today on the war against Christian influence upon America.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NESB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnzen and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnzen at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshiped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com.
That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back, and Gary, we have a listener. Let's see here. We have in Eastern Suffolk County, we have Ronald, who says, Gary, I know that you are a postmillennialist, but I also know that postmillennialism is often slandered and described as believing that things just keep getting better and better and better. I know that that is a false caricature, an outright lie, and that beliefs such as the United States could collapse into a ash heap could very well fit within the postmillennial paradigm, because that is not the end of all time. Do you have any optimism for a long future of the United States of America?
I'm a short-term pessimist, long-term optimist. I actually follow the directive found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Most people only quote the first seven verses. They don't read the rest of the chapter, which ends, of course, with all scriptures as God breathed and profitable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so they, you know, Paul is directing his letter to Timothy. This is the description to Timothy of what's taking place in his own day. The last days there isn't referring to something in the far distant future. The last days of the old covenant was operating at that particular period of time. And what you read in those first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3 is really a depiction of what was taking place through the book of Acts. And so he finishes with this about, you men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, unloving, treacherous, reckless, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Verse 7, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'll see this posted on Facebook all the time, just that, those first seven verses. And what we're, and if you look at those first seven verses, we are seeing the manifestation of this principle working itself out daily. Abortion, killing off their future, transgenderism, homosexuality, economic suicide, you can go on and on and on. We're beginning to see all this falling apart. The question is, what should we do while this takes place? And this is my frustration. The churches today aren't teaching an alternative because in many cases they believe we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming soon. You don't polish brass or rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic because it's all going down. And I've heard a number of very, very, very prominent people make that actual statement. But then you look at verse 8. It says, and just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind rejected as regards the faith. Now, Jannes and Jambres were the two sorcerer high priests who were in the Pharaoh's court and confronted Moses and Aaron. And, of course, you know the battle that took place there. These sorcerer high priests threw down their rods. They became serpents. Moses throws down Aaron's rod. It becomes a serpent and consumes them. And so then it's, look at verse 9, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. And then Paul says, but you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, doesn't sugarcoat it, persecutions, sufferings, such as they happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, but persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So, and you go on with it, with the chapter there, but hopefully you get the point. We should be manifesting that type of worldview in every area of life like we used to do. And as while we see the collapse of the leftist, God-hating, state-adoring, worldview of the anti-Christian worldview collapsing under our feet, we will see a transformed culture. It's been done before and it can be done again. And that's why I do what I do.
Amen. I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your contact information. First of all, once again, American Vision, the ministry where Gary DeMar serves as president, is AmericanVision.org, AmericanVision.org. Do you have any other contact information or announcements that you'd like to make as far as books you're writing, special events, etc.?
I have a series up that's coming out piece by piece on eschatology and the importance of eschatology. You can go to American Vision's Facebook page, and those are posted somewhat on a daily basis. I'm working on a number of books. I've got 35 other books, and so if people want to start somewhere, they can start with ones I've already written. But you can go to AmericanVision.org and then go to the store and look for books by me. I have a book on God and government, which deals with the self-government, family government, church government, and civil government, which has been a bestseller and used by homeschoolers and so forth. Myths, Lies, and Half-Truths deals with Christian excuses that are used in order not to be involved. So there's a whole bunch of stuff there to keep people busy for a long time.
Great. Well, I want to thank you so much for being my guest again, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.